Chapter 75 Dalinar 7 Dalinar pulled off his helm, wiping the blood from his brow as he led his horse back toward his army's main body. Beside him, Echothan's voice rang with the mutterings of a tenset curses. Light infantry marched around them. What had begun as a 10 squad had taken serious casualties, leaving barely 500 men alive. The ambush should have gone far better. It wasn't that Dalinar had expected to do serious damage to the Vaden army. This ambush, like others, had simply been another delaying tactic. As long as the Vadens feared ambush, they would move more carefully, and Dalinar's struggling force could stay ahead. No, this day's skirmish had not been intended to deal any serious damage. Elokar Kolin had obviously thought different.
"Kanalhin, Kaprolin, and Kachayan,"
Echothan swore, using the first three names of the Almighty. One of Echothan's tributing lords, Lord Tenmach, had been among those killed this day. Tenmach's squad had been cut off from the main troop, flanked by enemy forces who should have been detained by Elokar's 10 squad. Elokar, however, hadn't stayed back as the plan dictated. Instead, he had pushed his troops forward, trying to cut through to the Vaden commanders. By the time Elokar had realized the futility of the action, Dalinar's force had already suffered massive casualties. Dalinar glanced behind. The Vaden force was there, of course, ever behind them, like a dark mold on the horizon. They weren't giving specific chase to Dalinar's group. Their leader, whoever it may be, was too clever for that. For all he knew, Dalinar's hasty retreat was leading into a second, more devastating ambush. The invaders had a 2-to-1 advantage in troops. They were big enough to be confident, but still too small to take hasty risks. That was, perhaps, the only reason why the Aleth forces were still alive. The men marching with Dalinar were a morose, solemn lot. Morale was terrible, as could be expected. No army liked to be on the perpetual retreat. However, the Aleth forces suffered from an even greater problem, and the men could sense it. Though Dalinar and Elokar's armies remained separated out of principle, they were required to rely on one another to work against the invaders. They camped beside one another and coordinated delaying tactics. However, neither group held the obvious command. The army was like two pigs tied to one rope. Each move was a struggle, each plan a potential disaster. Elokar refused to meet with Dalinar face to face, instead insisting that they communicate via messengers. The sense of disorder mixed with the foe behind left the men with very little to rely upon. The main troop had already set camp in the evening light, or, more appropriately, it had set up two separate camps that happened to sit next to one another. Dalinar made for the western camp, which was slightly larger. To the right, he could see Elokar's own ambush force marching into camp. Dalinar reined in his horse as the men lethargically made their way toward the mess tent. He looked over at Echothan. The Cardin man had always been a soldier of great energy, but even he was beginning to show signs of fatigue. His plate was a mismatch of pieces, half his regular light blue, half scavenged from the suits of the fallen. It would take several weeks for his own twisted and scarred pieces to reform themselves. Dalinar's own plate looked little better. He kept more of his original pieces, but they were covered with dents, gashes, and nicks.
"Come, my friend," Dalinar said. "We have planning to do."
Echothan nodded.
"For all the good it will do us," he muttered.
Impressively, the initial retreat had been performed with relatively little loss. Some of the bulkier items, such as tents and furniture, had been left behind out of necessity. However, their stores of emeralds, sapphires, and basic food preparation items had mostly survived the chaotic withdrawal. Dalinar could only ascribe the miracle to the effectiveness of his stewards. If the army somehow survived the next few weeks, he vowed to raise the men all a rank or two. Dalinar's pavilion had been far too bulky to bring. However, his stewards had located a smaller tent, brought by a lesser nobleman, and appropriated it in Dalinar's name. The tent was smaller than he was accustomed to, but at least it was shelter. Many of his men didn't even have that much. There were no chairs inside. Dalinar had ordered all lords to abandon any furniture that had survived the original withdrawal. It was too heavy to carry. Dalinar wouldn't have servants collapsing from the rushed march simply because their lord wanted a comfortable place to sit his posterior. Itchothan, his shard plate removed, settled himself on a cushion as the scouts entered the tent to give their report. Dalinar remained standing. Pollen, the head of Dalinar's scouts, was a thick-necked man with a warrior's build and a bristly mustache. He was a lord, but as the mustache indicated, he had little care for courtly ways. Solitary and curt, but observant, he served well in his place.
"Well?" Dalinar asked. Pollen didn't care much for formality.
"They're definitely Vaden, my lord," the man said in his grunting voice. "I got close enough to the main body to see glyph seals from all three of the Vaden houses. I recognized a couple of the faces, too."
Dalinar nodded. He had concluded the same during this last battle. For a time, he had maintained his belief that the invaders were the mysterious army from Prelir, but that had apparently been a hasty conclusion.
"Filthy hogs," Itchothan said. "It's little wonder they wouldn't give much aid to the Prelir campaign. They were planning to betray Alethkar as soon as it got back."
"You didn't send help to the Prelir War either, my friend," Dalinar pointed out.
"Yes, but I always gave my reasons," Itchothan said. "The Vadens, they hedged and promised. It's a wonder that Nolinar never signed that treaty. Everyone knows Vadens are about as trustworthy as smoke."
"Were you able to determine who leads the Vaden army?" Dalinar asked.
Pollen shook his head.
"Their scouts are storm-cursed good, my lord. I lost 3 men on this mission as it is. We couldn't get close enough to read the glyph on the central tent."
Dalinar nodded with a sigh. The army was probably led by Talshech Devar. Before the nonsense with Crossguard began, the man had been arranging a coup of the three houses. Apparently, he had decided not to stop with his own throne. Dalinar wished he knew how the man had managed to get past the southern Aleth fortifications so quickly and quietly.
"My lord," Pollen continued, "I passed by the scene of your skirmish on my way back. They were killing the wounded again."
Dalinar closed his eyes, exhaling softly, while Itchothan muttered a few more curses. Dalinar had sent scouts back to Crossguard, hoping that they would discover that a Vaden holding force had been arranged to hold the abandoned men. Instead, they had found only corpses. Anyone Dalinar abandoned was slaughtered.
"Thank you, Pollen," Dalinar said, dismissing the scout.
Pollen nodded.
"A messenger from Kolinar arrived while you were gone, my lord," he said as he withdrew. "Shall I send a scribe to read the letter?"
"Yes, thank you."
The tent flap rustled as the beefy scout left, and Dalinar shared a look with Itchothan.
"This isn't good," the Cardan man noted.
Dalinar nodded. He walked over and unrolled his map of Alethkar, then weighed it down on the stone floor with rocks at the corners. His female calligraphers had marked the army's current location as requested, as well as that of the trailing army. They were near the middle of the kingdom, a little to the north and east. At first, Dalinar had hoped to make for Kolinar, where he could have, perhaps, rallied some more forces. Their pursuer, however, had anticipated this intention. The Vaden king kept his forces eastward, herding the refugee group to the west, away from Dalinar's center of power.
"So what are our choices?" Dalinar asked. "We can't continue to wander as we have."
Itchothan cocked his head slightly, as if not in complete agreement.
"We need to take the path with the most valleys, Dalinar. Every potential ambush will slow them down."
Dalinar shook his head.
"Slowing them won't save us in the end, my friend. They'll catch us eventually, no matter how clever our pathfinding. We need to make a stand somewhere."
Cardinar, Itchothan offered. I brought most of my forces with me, but there are some remaining. Our passing would gather several thousand more troops.
And bring an inevitable war to your people, Dalinar said.
No, I won't do that to the restful city. Besides, it's too far. We'd be dead before we got there.
Itchothan grunted, leaning over, his shadow falling across the map as he studied their options.
Teth Kanar, he finally said.
Dalinar nodded. The port city was their only option. It was a third city, of goodly size and fortification.
Our only problem will be Lord Intara, Itchothan said.
Intara's not a problem, Dalinar said. He's an advantage. He was the only major Aleth lord who didn't send troops to either myself or Elokar. He'll have men to add to the army.
If he even lets us in the city, Itchothan said with a snort.
He won't have much choice if we plant three armies on his doorstep, Dalinar said, smiling slightly. The image was increasingly appealing. Teth Kanar was one of the more defensible cities in the kingdom, despite its unpleasant heritage. The real trick would be persuading Elokar that it was the best place to go. A knock came at the tent post, and Dalinar stood, calling for the visitor to come in. A white-robed woman in her 40s entered. He thought he recognized her, but the face was difficult to place. Standard dark Alice hair, cut short and without braids. The wife of a lesser officer, probably, who had become a scribe so that she could remain with her husband during extended campaigns. The woman bowed.
"Which message would you like me to read first, my lord?" she asked, holding up two sheets of paper.
Dalinar paused.
"There are two?" he asked. "Who from?"
"The first is from your wife, my lord," the woman said. "The second is from Her Majesty, Queen Nanava. It came just a few minutes ago."
Nanava, Dalinar thought, shooting a glance at Itchothan.
The bald-headed warrior shrugged, leaning back on his cushion in a relaxed position.
"Read the one from Kanay first," Dalinar ordered. "It is very short, my lord," the scribe said. "It reads, My dearest betrothed, I don't know if you got my other messages or not. I did receive your man. He was very brave in escaping the forces that chased him. Kolinar is still under siege, though the army hasn't attacked us yet. I put 2 Tenset men in painted armor and have them walking the ramparts. Perhaps the invading force will think that we have more shardbearers than we do. The citizens are training at Shieldholm with all diligence, but I don't think we have the forces to resist an attack. I don't know what happened at Crossguard, but I trust you have defeated the king. Please return to Kolinar with all haste."
The scribe looked up.
"And it is signed, with love, Kanay Cardinar."
Itchothan smiled with pride at the letter's content, and Dalinar didn't blame him. Kanay was an impressive young woman, resourceful, clever, and determined. Despite her youth, she would preside over Kolinar in its time of need, giving the people the firm leadership it needed. However, her words worried Dalinar. Cutting off Kolinar so decisively was a very clever move. When Talshech had begun his campaign in Yakaved, Dalinar had commissioned his spies to prepare a report on the Devar House leader. Nothing in that report had led Dalinar to expect such a competent enemy. Talshech was supposed to be a fine warrior, but only a passable tactician. Yet the moves he had made so far showed amazing subtlety and preparation. He did attack Crossguard too early, Dalinar reminded himself. That was one error. Whoever it is that leads this invading army, he can make mistakes. The trap isn't inescapable yet.
"And if Teth Kanar is besieged too," Itchothan said.
"Then we will die," Dalinar said. "We can only hope that the Vadens weren't able to infiltrate that far. They would have had to risk sending a force dangerously close to Crossguard to get to Teth Kanar. We will also have to hope that Kolinar can hold out long enough for us to defeat the main Vaden force."
He didn't add the obvious, that if they didn't defeat the main Vaden force, Kanay and the rest of the upper Aleth nobility would be executed.
"A second letter, please," Dalinar said to the scribe.
"It reads, My dear Lord Dalinar, I write this in the hopes that you might retain some measure of influence over my husband. Though you two have come to arms recently, you must know the level of respect with which he regards you. My lord, I am deeply afraid. I feel weak admitting this, but I don't know to whom else I can turn. The force chasing us must belong to Tal Shekh Devar, and its cohesion means that he has undoubtedly slain my brother, Avin Vadenel. My son's life is in great danger. Not only is Ardan the heir to the Aleth throne, but he is also now the rightful ruler of the three houses. Tal Shekh will have to make certain that the boy is...
The scribe trailed off. What? Dalinar asked.
I apologize, my lord, she said. The writing is smudged. It must have gotten wet. I think it says we'll have to make certain that the boy is killed, for Ardan is a threat to his stability. It continues, I have asked, even pled, with my lord Elikar to let me take Ardan and flee. There are those who would hide us. We needn't stay with the main bulk of the army, but could ride ahead and seek refuge in Cardinar, or perhaps find passage to Thelena. Elikar, however, insists on keeping his son with him during these dangerous times. Please, my lord, send a request to Elikar. Persuade him that he must not let the Kolin line die here. He must let me flee.
The scribe looked up.
It is signed, Your Queen, Lady Nanava Vadenel. The words are written in a very hasty hand, my lord. I do not think she was in a completely solid state of mind when she penned them.
Dalinar nodded thoughtfully. He could see the woman behind the words, a terrified, uncertain girl. Nanava had come far during the last year, but before that she had displayed a spoiled immaturity and unwillingness to perform her duties as queen. She wasn't ready to face the possibility that being Elokar's wife might very well mean her death. Do you have your writing tools with you? He asked the scribe. The scribe nodded.
They're outside, my lord, she said.
Fetch them, Dalinar requested.
You intend to do as she asks? Etchathan asked curiously as the scribe left.
Dalinar nodded.
I need to send Elokar a message anyway and complain of his actions today. Not that it will stop him from doing whatever the winds tell him, of course. Still, perhaps I can compose a letter that will make him agree that Teth Kanar is the place to make our stand.
Don't tell him you plan to fight there, Etchathan said, reclining. Tell him you plan to get a ship at the port, then flee to Prelir. He'll want to go there for certain.
Dalinar frowned.
He's not that selfish. He wouldn't leave his men behind to die.
Etchathan shrugged.
I think you'd be surprised.
Dalinar frowned. However, when he composed the letter, he did as Etchathan had suggested.